Please turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. I shall be reading chapter 12, verses 12 to 31. Verses 12 to 31. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. And I will show you a still more excellent way. This is the word of God.
Thank you, Wee Jim. Good morning, church. Yeah, I'm Pastor Jordan, in case you do not know me. We continue with our series on 1 Corinthians today. You know, this book we know as 1 Corinthians is actually a letter with many lessons for the church, even today. To date, we have covered chapters 1, chapters 3, chapter 5, chapter 7 over 2 sermons, chapters 8, 9, and 11. And today, I'll be preaching from chapter 12. And I really hope that you remember what we have covered so far in our series and remember some of the lessons Paul exhorts the church to consider and to act on. If you want to refresh your memory, you can always for AMKPC on Instagram, and you will see some pictures and short notes on our sermons, just to refresh your memory a little. But let us first go to God in prayer. Let's pray. Almighty God, you know our hearts and our deepest desire. You know who we are. You know what we can do. You are our Creator God. So speak to us and guide us towards serving you and loving you, to be a blessing as we are blessed by you. Guard our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, in our series so far, We have learned that the true message of the cross is not about, is not one of self-centeredness, but about self-giving love and other-centeredness. It is a difficult and perhaps foolish message to the world and even to the church at times, because even believers, disciples like us, we fail to mature, we fail to grow in the faith. And with matters of sin, the church is reminded that discipline and rebuke must be exercised so that confession and repentance can happen. And as we remember the resurrected Christ, we must remember that our earthly physical body, though sinful, can be used for the glory of God. It is not about our personal and human rights to act or live in a certain way, but it is about demonstrating the love of God to the world so that the name of God can be glorified. Our worship and our life must reflect and proclaim the glory of God to the world. Only then will the message of the cross be evident and alive to the world. Our church vision says we want to be a vibrant church, growing and influencing others towards Christ-likeness. Are we there yet? Maybe not, but we are on a journey, and we are on the right path towards a right destination. To be a vibrant church, growing and influencing others, influencing one another towards Christ-likeness. It is a journey that requires all of us. It's not just the leaders of the church. It requires all the giftings and talents we have as a church. Now, as you look at the leaders of our church, you know, the elders, the deacons, the pastors, I hope you know who they are. If you don't, I hope we get a chance to get to know you. If you look at the leaders of the church, what would you say they are good at? What are their giftings? You know, if you look at Reverend Srimal, I think it is safe to say that he has the gift of preaching and teaching, and that is good for us as a church, since he takes the bulk of our Sunday sermons. You see him here most of the time. We know that Pastor Veronica has a heart for the lost and compassion for the needy, and that is evident in the years she spent in missions, and now she's also heading the missions committee of the church. We have an elder who has a strong heart and passion for the gospel, in reaching out to the lost, in sharing the gospel to people and bringing them to church. Do you know who he is? Elder Simon, if you do not know him, you can get to know him. You will see him at the back of the church welcoming people almost every single Sunday. Deacon William has been blessed with a gift of leading the congregation in reflective and meaningful worship and prayer. And then among our young people, like Loretta, we see her gift in artwork and design. You know, if you were here at our recent church anniversary, you would remember the chocolates, the snow globe, you know, all refreshing and unique ideas to celebrate our 27th anniversary. And even just now, you see a group of young people behind me, on the stage, no longer behind me, sharing a little bit of what they are passionate about, what they have to bless the church. And of course, there are many more among us, you know, seated right here. Many of you who are blessed with different gifts and talents. You know, it can be hospitality, mercy, teaching, prayer, administration, leadership. You know, but each of us has been given time and space to learn about our gift and also to practice our gift. Some of you might also receive affirmation, appreciation from fellow church members regarding the gift. But ultimately, no two of us are alike completely. I cannot preach like Reverend Srimal. He cannot lead worship like Deacon William. But one question when we talk about spiritual gift that comes out a lot is this. What exactly constitutes a spiritual gift? You know, if we talk about the gift of tongues, it's quite obvious. If we talk about a gift of healing, it's also quite obvious. But what about the gift of faith? How do you see the gift of faith in somebody? What about the gift of administration? You know, you can do Excel sheet very well. You remember all the shortcuts. You can do accounting very well. You learn them in school. Are these gifts, talents, or spiritual gifts blessed by the Lord? If you have a gift of leadership, is it from your years in uniform group for the boys who goes to OCS? Is it from the officer cadet school? Or is it something the Lord has blessed you with? One definition recently we shared at our youth ministry is this. It's not the definitive definition, but I think it's one that is really good. We said that spiritual gifts are abilities given by the Holy Spirit to express our faith effectively for the strengthening of one's faith in order to build up the church. It is not for one to boast about it, primarily because it is God's gift. It is His grace upon the believers. Spiritual gifts are given to the individuals in the church, not because God wants to give each of us that 5 minutes of fame and personal glory. God blesses the individuals in the church because God wants the individuals, He wants you and I, to build up the church with the diverse gifts He has blessed us with. Now, there are many gifts, but all gifts come from the same one true God. And that is the clarification Paul brings to the Corinthian church. Many gifts, one God. Verses 1 to 3 in 1 Corinthians. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, the Corinthian church were divided because of various issues. We have heard in earlier chapters how they were divided as they followed different leaders, divided in their view of sinful behaviors, divided in their attitude towards communion and fellowship. Here, Paul addresses their division due to their uninformed view of spiritual gifts. They had a wrong definition and perspective of what spiritual gifts are. Now, we must remember that most of them, if not all of the Corinthians in the church, came from pagan background and had very likely seen other forms of supernatural occurrences in their pagan worship, you know, utterance, healing, and other signs and wonders. They had likely seen some supernatural occurrence in the past. So Paul wants to remind them and warns them against the assumption that every spiritual and supernatural things that happen is a gift from God. That is a wrong assumption, that every supernatural gift is from God. Now in verse 3, Paul tells us clearly, even as he makes a confession of faith by saying Jesus is Lord. A true believer will never say that Jesus is accursed. And only those in whom the Holy Spirit dwells can and will acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. So while there are gifts, there are occurrences like healing that is seen in various other cults in pagan worship, they are considered counterfeit, fake, and not gifts of the Spirit. It is definitely not spiritual gifts because they do not come from God. And the enemy, the devil, will most definitely not be using such gifts to bring people to Christ or to promote the kingdom of God. Even when the enemy uses such supernatural occurrences, it will not be used to bring people to Christ or to glorify God. So when we are unsure if a certain gift is from God, I think the simplest way is to see if it is used to proclaim the kingdom of God. Whether it is healing, utterances, prayer, administration, mercy. If it is used for the glory of God, if the name of the Lord is proclaimed and praised, then it is of the Lord. If God is not glorified in the act, if God is not proclaimed as Lord, then the gift is likely not of the Spirit. It is not of God. and your leadership skills, accounting capabilities can be, but might not be a spiritual gift. Of course, that said, I'm not saying that if it's not used for the Lord, it is used by the devil. You know, there's the in-between where we naturally learn how to cook, show love and mercy to one another. But if it is not used of the Lord in the building of the church to glorify God, then perhaps it is not to be considered a spiritual gift. Paul continues in verses 4 to 6. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. So there are many, many gifts, services, and activities among the people of God. But all of them come from God alone. The same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. So among the many gifts that we have in the church, I think sometimes we consciously or subconsciously, we kind of celebrate and exalt some gifts over the others. You know, we think of preaching and teaching as ranked higher than, you know, gifts of service and help. You know, we think of gifts of mission, evangelism. There are gifts that are rare, harder to have. Maybe some of us would not want to have, you know, compared to generosity, hospitality. And that was a cause of division in the Corinthian church. And that continues to divide churches today. There are churches which insist that certain gifts are higher, more important. You know, like speaking in tongues is a necessary gift for salvation and maturity, or even gift of healing and prophecy. And there are also churches who insist that a true believer must be gifted and passionate in missions or evangelism. But Paul repeats three times that there are varieties of gifts, that there is a diversity in the gifts that God has blessed the church with. Some of us are better at speaking to newcomers and making them feel welcome. Some of us are better at logistical work. You know, you have a better eye for details which others might overlook. Then there are some of us who are good with children and in engaging them, where others would roll their eyes and run away from the children. You know, we have a group of ladies who prepares communion for us every communion Sunday. Do they have a special gift? No, they don't have some special ability to pour the exact amount of grape juice into every cup. You know, but yes, they have that special gift of service. You know, to do the same thing every communion Sunday, you know, pouring that small amount into 100 over small cups, preparing the communion wafer, faithfully coming earlier to do something that the rest of the church don't see before the service or even after the service. You know, spiritual gifts, talents or skills, you know, whatever you might call them, whatever you might term them, there is a variety of them. And in verse 7, it says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. It does not mean it will be something glorious, very visible. It does not mean that you will suddenly burst into light, your face shines with the glory of God so that others cannot look at you. It simply means that a great variety is given to different members, to each of us, to members of the Corinth church who once were pagan worshippers, who once were led astray to mute idols, to each of them who has stopped treating Jesus as accursed, who has stopped treating Jesus as something bad, but now calls him as Lord. To each of them has been given gifts of God to manifest, to show that they now belong to, they belong in Christ, that their actions and lives proclaims that Jesus is Lord. The simple act of love, the simple act of service is a manifestation of the Spirit of God that dwells in his believers. And Paul then gives a list of gifts that's given to different people. To one is given the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, and more. But all empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he will. To one, to another. Not all gifts are given to everyone, but all gifts comes from one God. There are many gifts, but one Spirit, one God. Now, each of us has been given, each of us will be given gifts of a wide variety so that the church can be built up. From verse 12 onwards, Paul uses the metaphor of the body to describe the church and the members of the church. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Now, the church, the congregation, is described as a whole, as a body. And the people of the church, the individuals in the congregation, are the members. We are all joined into one body, in one Spirit, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, all parts of one body, in one Spirit of God. Many members, one body. Now, again, Paul seeks to address the divisive thought within the Corinthian church, where some might be exalting certain gifts in the church while downplaying the importance of other gifts. And it is not just the exaltation of certain gifts, but the idea that all believers must have certain gifts or must be able to exhibit certain gifts as proof, as a sign that they are truly believers in the Church of Christ. Now, as a Presbyterian church, we will not see within our church service the public speaking of tongues. There will be no open proclamation of healing or prophecy. No, but we do have gifted preachers, teachers. We have words of wisdom, knowledge, and of faith. Faith that God can and will act according to His will and power. But I remember as a young believer, many years ago, I heard about the big churches, the big growing charismatic churches in Singapore, where many young people went to. Many of my friends went to, and they began talking about being a Christian, how they talk about praying in tongues, and how it is a sign for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I had friends who told me that I needed to pray to speak in tongues in order to be a believer. If I do not pray or speak in tongues, I am not a Christian, that the Spirit of God is not dwelling in me. They told me that if I was really a Christian, I would be able to speak in tongues. Maybe like the Corinthian church, tongues became the exalted gift within the charismatic church. Now, of course, my friends and I were young. We haven't even read through the Bible, maybe not even the New Testament. So we were very simple believers. When the church leaders tell us something, we would listen to them, we would agree with them. So the leaders of their church told them something, they agree with them. When the leaders of this church told me something, I would agree with them. So there's always the back and forth of why we speak in tongues or why we don't. But the idea of tongues being an all-important and necessary gift in all believers is a mistaken one. The idea that any one gift is the all-important and necessary gift in all believers is a mistaken one. And as Paul explains the diversity of gifts from one Spirit, he also informs the church that each one individually is given different gifts. Different gifts given to different people does not mean that they are differing importance or honor ascribed to them. The gift of preaching and teaching given to Reverend Srimal does not make him a better Christian per se. It makes him more knowledgeable, more capable in teaching the Word of God. But the gift of love, the gift of evangelism given to you, is also a sign of the manifestation of the Spirit in you. Different gifts given to different people does not mean that they are deferring importance or honor ascribed to them. Paul continues with the metaphor of the body, verses 14 on. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. You know, the youth ministry cannot say, because we are the youth ministry, we are not going to get involved with the adult ministry or the children ministry. Likewise, the adult ministry cannot just say that, oh, we are the adult ministry, the young adult ministry or the worship ministry is of no concern to us. We are one body, we are here as a church. And imagine what would happen if all of us had the same kind of gifting within this church. All of us had the gift of preaching and teaching. Who would listen? Who would benefit from a great teaching on evangelism or service or mission? Or if we all had the gift of evangelism, then who would disciple the new believers, the young believers, the growing believers towards maturity? Who would be serving in the worship ministry? And even if we all had the gift of service, who would be preaching? Who would lead in Bible studies and teach? You know, the variety of gifts are only effective when we come together as a collective body. You know, individually, our gifts can mean little or nothing at all. You know, the strongest arm, if cut off from the body, will not be able to lift a single thing. You know, the keenest, sharpest eye outside of the head can't see a thing. And what kind of smell can a nose understand without a brain to transmit information to? You know, and as I was going through this passage, a reflection came to mind. We often think about spiritual gifts as something beneficial to us. You know, it is a gift from God to me, for my benefit. But perhaps whatever spiritual gifts God has given to us individually is really meant as a gift for the church, for building up the body of Christ. And it is only when the different variety of gifts come together that the name of God is made known and glorified. It is when the gift of God is used within the body of Christ that his name is exalted. Verses 21 to 26, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Paul continues with this metaphor of the body to address the divisive attitude within the Corinthian church. No one is dispensable or indispensable within the church. It does not matter what gifts they have or they do not have. No gift is particularly honored or greater than the other. You know, I cannot imagine cutting off any part of my body just because I feel like I don't need it. In the same way, we cannot say to a member within the church with a gift of teaching, oh, because we have Reverend Srimal, now you're not needed, you can go elsewhere. You know, we also cannot say to a member with a gift of administration that he or she is not important. Teaching and administration are both important to the church. You know, in our ABC classes, that is very important. We need a lot of administrative work other than the teachers teaching in the class. So a body is made up of many parts, and a church is made up of many members. And just as Each part of the body must work together, so the members of the church, we must work together. Whether your role is the unseen background work, you know, like our brothers at the PA station, or the more visible ones like leading in worship, all of them are important, and we cannot expect any one role to do more in the hope of compensating for another. You know, no matter how much the PA team can raise the volume, can adjust the do equalizing of the sound, if the worship leader does not sing well, they cannot help to make the music better. If our PA team does not work hard, our worship leader cannot simply shout and try and sing louder so that our brothers and sisters at the back can hear. And you know, when we exercise, we don't just exercise our arms and hope that our legs will be strengthened. You know, if you do that, it will actually cause more harm than benefit to your body. Now, God has so composed the body so that there is no division within the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. Verse 26, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Verse 27 continues, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. You are the body of Christ. Individually members of it. You are the body of Christ. Now let me first try to summarize what we have gone through so far. So the Korean church had this wrong perspective and view of spiritual gifts. They are mistaken idea that certain gifts are greater, cause pride and arrogance among some members. And it likely caused further division as they argued over which gifts are better or whose gifts are greater. So Paul corrects them by stating that there is a variety of gifts given by the Lord to all who acknowledge him as Lord. All gifts from the Lord comes by the grace of God and not because of any individual's effort or merit. The gift does not make the individual greater or better. And the purpose of these spiritual gifts is to build up the body of Christ, to build up the church. Now, our passage today does not tell us how to discern our gifts. There is another topic for another time. But our passage today tells us not to exalt or put down any of the gifts the Lord has blessed the church with. Our passage today also tells us to use whatever gifts we have to build up one another, to build up the body of Christ, to build up the church as one, to be a vibrant church. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. But if we are the body of Christ, what does it mean? What should happen within the church as we are each members of this body of Christ? You know, the first thing that came to my mind when I was given this passage to preach on was actually a song. You know, a song by Casting Crowns. It's called "We Are If We Are the Body." And the chorus goes like this. It says, "But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way?" If we are the body. You know, the song, I think this chorus captures the essence of our passage today. You know, all the gifts we might have, gifts we think are greater, you know, gifts that we are proud of, or perhaps gifts we think are lesser, you know, that we dare not use, we dare not show, we dare not speak of. Gifts we bury because we feel more superior. Gifts we hide because we feel inadequate. You know, if you feel that you can teach better, that you have the gift of teaching, you know, let the leaders know how you can help, where you can help. If you feel that you have a heart and passion for worship, to sing, let us know. so that we can help one another to grow. For the young people on stage earlier, do they have the gift of worship? Some of you would say yes, some of you would say no, but they have the heart, the passion. It is when we allow our heart and passion to be used of God, that God will continue to use them, bless them, and allow it to be developed into a gift. If we are the body, then we must reach out. We must heal, we must teach, and we must go. More importantly, we must love. The chapter ends with verse 31, but earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. You know, the Bible originally does not have chapters and gifts, so in the letter of 1 Corinthians, it actually continues. But here, verse 31 says, but earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. So desire, seek, pray. Pray for the higher, perhaps more prominent, visible gifts that will build up the church to proclaim the name of the Lord. But Paul tells us of a still more excellent way, the way of love. You know, that will be elaborated on next Sunday, chapter 13. But for now, we know that the world out there is suffering in sin. Now, here in church, we are sinners saved by grace. So if the gifts that we have been blessed with is not used in love to reach out to the world, to heal the brokenness, if our gifts does not teach the righteousness of God, if we do not go out into the world and show them God's way of love, His love, then our gifts, no matter what it is useless. So if we are the body of Christ, let us support one another, let us build one another up, and bring the love of God to the world, to the lost, to the searching. And let us be kind and loving to one another, let us help one another grow in maturity and faith. What role do you have in the church? What role do you have in this church? Are you allowing your skills, your talents to be used by God as a gift to the church? Will you take time to learn and to discover what your gift from the Lord might be and use it for the body of Christ? Will you act on the love you have for God and for the body of Christ? Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Is our love for one another evident? Are we using our love and our gifts to build up one another? How are we loving one another, and how are we influencing one another towards Christ-likeness? May we continue to reflect upon this in the week ahead. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for the reminder that though we are many, we are one body. And just as individually we are members of one body, your desire is for us to love one another, to love as you love, to reach out as you reached out, to heal as you healed, to be one body of Christ to the broken world out there, to show them that there is hope, that there is salvation. So, Father, I pray that you continue to bless us as a church to grow, for each of us to discover, to learn, to use the gifts you have blessed us with in order to build up the church. Help us to have the right attitude of humility and courage as we use our gifts. And in all that we do, guide us to demonstrate your love and your compassion for the lost. May we build this church with one heart, one mind, and one voice under the same Spirit, Lord and God. Indeed, to God be all glory, honor, power, and praise. As we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.